Well, welcome back to the Bell Pearson radio show called Inside Michigan Hockey. And normally this time of the year, the Michigan hockey team, with cooperation of Michigan Medicine, has an ALS game. We've had it now for the last four seasons, this year because of the COVID outbreak and everybody being cautious, and that's good. We are not going to have an ALS game this year. However, we have Dr. Stephen Galtman, who's been my guest on the show here during the hockey games for the past four seasons. He is the Michigan Medicine Associate Professor of Neurology. And Steve, welcome. Nice seeing you again.
Thanks so much. It's great to be back.
This hit home with Michigan hockey, with Scotty Matzka. Scotty, Jim Ballantyne years ago, also passed away from ALS. It's an awful disease. One though, which you and your team are making some good progress, I understand.
Yeah, we've had a really exciting year. Despite this COVID-19 pandemic, we've continued to make traction and to make progress. We have a few interesting things that we're looking at right now. We've talked in the past about our look into these environmental risk factors for ALS, and we continue our search for those. We've made a lot of good progress exploring the immune system for ALS and potentially finding new treatment targets to slow this disease. And we've started up a new clinical trial has multiple sites around the country, and we've had a lot of interest in that. So despite this pandemic, we continue to strive hard. And that is really on top of the outstanding clinical care we deliver to our patients day in and day out.
You were talking about environmental impact of possibly one of the sources. I remember you telling me this years ago about how the highest concentration of ALS patients anywhere in the world is actually from the Midwest and actually in the state of Michigan. Do I remember that correctly?
Yes, you are. For reasons that we don't know, there are more people living with ALS in the Midwest and in Michigan than in other places of this country. And we've got to figure out why. We think it's based off of our legacy of being both an agricultural and an industrial type of an economy. And we need to find these sources. The goal here is we truly believe that if we can hone in on what's leading to ALS, we can actually prevent cases in the future. So we're not talking about just finding a treatment. We're actually talking about preventing people from developing ALS, so nobody needs to live with this disease. And that's, I think, the true excitement and what we're going after with our search for these environmental risk factors.
You mentioned maybe something in the water source, like fertilizer, something being a Midwest type thing.
So we have really good evidence to show that pesticides have a strong link to somebody's risk for developing ALS. And likely with us being surrounded by the Great Lakes, that's really an opportunity for some of these chemicals to be what we call bioaccumulated, or to build up in the Great Lakes and get to us through the air and through the water and perhaps even some of the food supply. So we do need to understand where we're being exposed to some of these chemicals, and specifically which ones are driving the risk for ALS. If we can figure that out, then we can work to eliminate exposures and perhaps even eliminate some of these chemicals from the environment, thus driving down people's likelihood of getting ALS, the ultimate goal.
Oh yeah, obviously to find the source to find out why in the Midwest, why in Michigan of all of the Midwest, and that's a very interesting point. What other factors are involved or coincidental in patients that are living or have lived in the state of Michigan?
So there are a number of really well-determined risk factors for ALS. So we talked about pesticides. Smoking's a risk factor. People who have served in the military for reasons that we don't know are at twice the risk. And surprisingly enough, physical activity, so really high levels of physical activity, are also recognized as a risk factor. And this, I think, is perhaps why we consider some of our, you know, these athletes that we look up to be at higher risk, because it's something about the physical activity. It's something about their high level elite athleticism that increases that risk. One of the things I want to caution is that I'm not suggesting that people shouldn't be physically active, because we know that physical activity is so good for reducing cardiovascular disease and is really good for every other bit of one's life. So we have to really figure out specifically what is driving this risk for people who are highly physically active in terms of getting ALS. But these are some of the well-known risk factors that are outside of genetics.
Well, I know it's been called Lou Gehrig's disease because he was the most famous person in his prime that it struck him down. It took him out of baseball and eventually took his life. And so they call it that. But how long has ALS been around?
Right. So it's actually really interesting looking at Lou Gehrig's batting average. And you can look back and you can actually see the decline of his batting average prior to him getting disease. ALS, we don't know when it was first recognized. It was first described in the mid-1800s. That's when it's first credited as in the medical literature for being described. Interestingly enough, in the initial descriptions of ALS, some of the initial patients that were described had exposures to lead. So we're thinking from the 1880s until now, we are still searching for some of these risk factors that are driving this disease.
Is there something that, you know, I'm sitting listening at home, this is the first I've heard of this, something I can do to help?
Right. So we've had this question come up over the last few years since we published in JAMA Neurology this study that compared the levels of persistent organic pollutants in individuals with ALS compared to controls. And what we found was that individuals that were that had ALS had higher levels of these legacy pollutants in their blood. And what we've suggested at that time, and which we continue to suggest, is that you try to reduce the sources where you may be exposed to these chemicals. So how do we do this? So think about sort of a greener lifestyle, reducing your use of pollutants and chemicals in your own home. If you can reduce your food that will have some of these chemicals in it. Now, this is not necessarily so easy to do, but some people pursue something like an organic diet. The EPA, I believe, offers some suggestions on which types of fish to eat and to avoid based off of where they're farmed. And so these are some things that you can do in your own environment to really help reduce your exposure to some of these pollutants. And then we as a community need to come together to really understand the health impact of pollution, whether it be from pollutants we've put into the ground, into the water, into the air, not only on ALS, but on many neurodegenerative diseases.
Dr. Stephen Gottman is our guest here on Mel Pearson's radio show. And we're so happy to have him here. We're talking about ALS because normally Michigan hockey team has an awareness game, which because of the COVID is not happening this year. And Dr. Gottman has agreed to come on the air with us, so we're so glad that you did. And from a standpoint of treatment, what are you finding now? And what other things that are available now today that weren't available, say, 5 or even 10 years ago, that seems to be working?
That's a great question. You know, we have a fantastic team. It really takes a team to care for persons living with ALS. And we've been exceptionally blessed this year to receive a real generous gift from someone by the name of Scott Pringer, who endowed our clinic, which is going to help us continue to provide the real outstanding care that we've been providing. And so this team is made up of more than 10 providers. It's a neurologist. It's an ALS nurse, a physical medicine specialist, a pulmonologist, a physical therapist, an occupational therapist, a respiratory therapist, social worker, nutritionist. We have our research coordinators in the clinic. We have a rehabilitation engineer. We have our speech and language pathologist. It's really a large team that allows us to care for people with ALS. I think what we've learned over the last 5 years is that as we can bring this team together to care for people living with ALS and to support their family members, we can improve their quality of life. We can get to them the needed therapies that improve their independence. And we can really utilize the things that we know that work, whether it be the drugs that are approved for treating ALS, whether it be good nutritional strategies, whether it be the reduction of falls or the use of non-invasive ventilation. This team approach really allows us to get these therapies to people when they need them, even before they need them. We try to anticipate, get it to them before they need it, to really help improve their quality of life and also improve their survival.
Well, Dr. Galvin, certainly God bless you and your staff and everybody that's working to get rid of this horrible disease. For more information, and I'm listening right now, I'm out here driving in my car, where can I find more information?
I think the easiest way to find us is to just search for our website. You can Google University of Michigan Pranger ALS Clinic, or for those who are good at remembering website addresses, it's umich-als.org. And that will take you to our Pranger ALS Clinic and ALS Center of Excellence website.
Fantastic. Thank you. No, we want to thank you. And let's get rid of this COVID thing too, so we can have an ALS awareness game next year.
Yeah, we got to be back in person next year. This has been a long haul, and we're looking forward to getting past this just like everybody else.
Dr. Galvin, thank you for your time today, and best of luck to you. We're praying for all of you and your patients.
Thanks so much. Great to see you.
All right. Well, back with more here on the Mel Pearson Radio Show called Inside Michigan Hockey in a moment here on Learfield IMG College.